Starts off with Zosu Bracha, Shavarach Moshe Yisrael, Kinnis B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Moso. Okay, this is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave B'nai Yisrael before he died. The pasuk says, Vayomar, and he said, this is the first word, Hashem mi Sinai ba, Hashem came from Har Sinai, Vizorach mi Seir lamo, and shined a light from Seir to them. Hofia mehar Paran, he appeared from the mountains of Paran. Va'asamir v'askodesh, he came with myriads and myriads of holiness. That means all the angels. Mimino, in his right hand, ish das lamo, he gave the law of the Torah. In other words, the fire of God, the fire of the law. Okay, we know that we're the segula, af chovev amim. We are the most beloved of all nations. This is the very next part of the pasuk, kol kedosha biyadecha. Everything is in our hands, and Torah tzilalanu Moshe, Moshe kielos Yaakov. We know we're the chosen nation. But Rashi tells us an unbelievable thing. Zorach mi seir lamo hofia me'ar paran, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to the 70 nations of the world before he gave us the Torah, and he said to them, do you want the Torah? Hashem gave us the Torah. You know what it was? Come on. You know this song. Come on, you can sing it. Is it Torah Avenue? Yeah, okay, either way, regardless. So he gave the Torah to us, but he offered it to the other nations first. The other nations said, no. No, thank you, for Torah there's no time, if anybody remembers the song. I don't understand. If we're the chosen nation, then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask anybody else? We should have just gotten it first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come up to us and said, do you want the Torah? We should have said yes, and then that would have been it. There'd be no reason to go to anybody else. Now, here's the thing. There's two different midrashim over here. From the pasuk, it only mentions Har Paran, that's number one, and Seir. Seir is a reference to Edom. Har Paran is a reference to Yishmael. Those are the two nations referenced to over here. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says another nation, and it goes through the whole midrash. What happened was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to them, said, do you want the Torah itself? The nation said, what's inside the Torah? What is part of the Torah? They said, to Esav, he said, lo sirtzach, you're not allowed to kill. Said Esav, what do you mean I'm not allowed to kill? My whole life is based on killing. My bracha given to me from Yitzchak Avinu was al-char b'chatichya, that I should live by the sword. What do you mean I'm not going to be able to kill? That's ridiculous, I can't do it. He said, I'm out. Yishmael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo signo, you're not allowed to steal. He said, Yishmael, we're all about stealing. That's what we're all about. We can't do that. Paras and Madai, not mentioned in the pasuk, but Paras and Madai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out to him and said, it says, Lo sinof, you're not allowed to commit adultery. He said, what are you talking about? That's what we're all about. We're all into a riot. How could that possibly be? And they didn't accept the Torah. Lots of questions here. Oh, all those three things, lo sirtzach, lo sinam, and lo signo, technical lo signovu, are all three things that they have to keep anyway. They're the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are what they have to keep no matter what. Those three things are no different from anything else that they had before. So what do they have over here? But first, let's try to ask a different question. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask them? How did he go, what did he say? I mean, how could you say no to God? How could God come up to you and you say no? So here, Chaim Ben Hagim says that the Levium were sent out. That all the Levium were sent out to all the other nations. That each Levi had a certain nation to go to. I don't know if that Kfitz Sederach or whatever it was, but each nation had a representative from Bnei Yisrael who went up to them and said, we're accepting the Torah, do you want to accept it with us? The nation said, no, we don't want to accept the Torah. That's what the nation said. That's number one. That's the time of an argument. There's a Medrash Rabbah that Moshe Rabbeinu himself went to every one of the 70 nations. While they were at Har Sinai, he spent a day going around to every nation saying to them, do you want to keep the Torah? Do you want to accept the Torah? Do you want to keep the Torah for yourself? That's one thing that's brought down from the Medrash Rabbah. The Ben Ish Chai has a huge piece. Huge piece. The Ben Ish Chai goes in a long piece. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not talking to the people. He's talking to the angels. He's asking the angels of each nation. And this is the reason why. Because if he goes up to the nation, he says to the nation, do you guys want to keep the Torah? And the nation says, no, we don't want to keep the Torah. Then they can't be punished. Because the angel in Shemayim, the angel that's in charge of the nation says, well, you didn't ask me. It's like you didn't go to the king. You went to the subjects, but you never asked the king. If you want to switch something around, or if you want to make a decision, you go to the king first, and then you ask the people. And if you go to the king really is making the decision for the rest of the people. So therefore, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't go to the nations of the world themselves, couldn't ask them, says the Ben Ish Chai, he had to go to the angels and say, do you guys want the Torah? And the angels themselves said, no, our nation isn't fit to be able to keep the Torah. Our nation isn't there. They can't keep Lo Sirtzach, they can't keep Lo Sinof, they can't keep Lo Signo, because their whole nation stands for that. We can't do that. So now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up to them and tries to punish them, the Malach has no taina. The angel has no taina. Well, I didn't know. What do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up to you, asked you if your nation wants the Torah, and they said no. That's number three. Rav Schwab. has an unbelievable word in this week's parsha. It's going to take us all the way through. An absolutely unbelievable word. He starts off like this. He says, it seems strange if you go to the Malachim. It also seems strange about Kadosh Baruch Hu went up to the nations and they said no. Even if there were representatives, Moshe and the Levim going up, you'd think we'd have some sort of a record about that. We'd have somebody saying this is what happened and this is when they came up to us and we rejected them. Of course, they might just say, why do we have to mention this in our hieroglyphics? We don't need to mention this anywhere. Made no real difference in their lives. They didn't want to accept the Torah and that was it. Fine, I hear that. But there's something different. You know, the nations of the world always had prophets. They always had Nevi'im. And those Nevi'im were always, you don't want to say equal. They compared to our Nevi'im. We know how many they had. Avimelech was a Navi. He had a Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hagar was a Nevi'ah. Yishmael was a Navi. Esav had Nevuah. Eliphaz had Nevuah. Laban got Nevuah in a dream. Bilam got Nevuah. They had tons of them. All these people, Noach, obviously, son from Noach, all of them got Nevuah. There are people from the other nations that got Nevuah. What's the point? Why? Why do they need to get prophecy? Why do they need to have that? Point was for them to be ready to be mekabel the Torah when asked. And when they wanted, when the Har Sinai was happening, they could go to one of the Nevi'im, one of the prophets that they had, and say to them, what should we do? They knew what was going on. Everybody heard about the Makos and Eretz Mitzrayim. There's not a single nation that didn't hear about the Asara Malkos. And even if they were in a cave, they were underneath the ground, and they had no idea that the 10 Malkos happened, they still definitely saw Kriyas Yamsuf. Every single one of them saw Kriyas Yamsuf, because that will tell us that their water split in their hands. What did they do? The Metro says they ran the Bilam. They said, the Bilam, what's going on? And Bilam said, the Jews are getting their Torah. Don't worry, the Jews are getting their Torah. But Bilam knew. And the nations heard. The nations knew what was going on. You think it's just coincidence that Amalek came up a couple days after Kriyas Yamsuf and fought Bnei Yisrael? 3 days after it? They knew. They wanted to cool everyone down. They wanted to say, this nation isn't so special. They wanted to fight them for that reason. It's one of the reasons why we hate Amalek. But of course these other nations knew. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to join Bnei Yisrael. They were necessarily become Jewish. But to come to Bnei Yisrael and say, wow, come see the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for them in the Midbar. See the Mon. See the Anan HaKavod. See the Kriyas Yamsuf. They were required to come. And think about it. You hear about something like this, you'd think that every media outlet in the world would be there. You heard about the sea splitting all the way up to the sky. You heard about the Makos of Mitzrayim, the huge, unbelievable nation of Mitzrayim being destroyed. To think about that and to say, who cares? I mean, seriously, Lahavdil, let's not jinx ourselves, but it's like America completely collapsing. Collapsing to the point where they're no longer here. No American exists anymore. And they're all destroyed by a massive tidal wave. You don't think other people in other nations would think about that for a second? You don't think people would wonder what's going on here? And then they see one nation of little Hispanic people come out and go back to Mexico. Right? All find their way in the middle of the desert on the way down to Mexico. You don't think other nations would be like, what? That's crazy. All those illegal immigrants. Oh, they made it back to Mexico. You don't think people would talk about that? Of course people would talk about that. Or Schwab says, you know, nobody went up to them. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu going up to them. There was no Levium going up to them. There was no the Malachim in Shemayim. Says Rav Schwab, they should have came, and they didn't come. That's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them. He said to them, what's wrong with you? Look at what I've done for these people. Why don't you come? Why don't you come join us? Why don't you come to Har Sinai? And they didn't come. They refused. They said, nah, what are we going to gain? What are we going to get out of this? They should have had Nasa and Ishma. They could have said Nasa and Ishma, but they didn't. Only one person did. Yisro. The only person who figured it out. The only one who said, wow, something crazy is happening. So one guy came along, and that's it. The Arab Rab were already there. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable killing. Every other nation in the world failed miserably. And maybe we can't blame the people all the way around in the world, the Chinese. That was far away for them to walk all the way to Kriyas Yamsuf. That would be a far walk. But the Arabs, Yishmael, Esav, they were right there. They were right there. What were they thinking? Why didn't they come? What happened to them? So we blame them. We put them in the pasuk and we blame them. But there's a different problem. The Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. These are the seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. If you want to remember them, it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three. Right? We know adultery. We know Avodah Zarah. We know Shvichus Dam. You can't murder. Those three, absolutely usher by non-Jews. But aside from that, you have Aver Min HaChai. You can't eat limbs from live animals. You can't be cruel to animals. You can't curse God. You can't steal. That's Birchas Hashem. That's the Beis. Gimel is Gezel. You can't steal. And Dalet is Din. You got to set up court systems. That's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three. They have these anyway. So what kind of excuse is this? Nah, we got to kill. We have to be able to kill. I mean, what, aside from that, what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to them? Kadosh Baruch Hu was like, listen, you want to keep the Torah? What's in the Torah? Well, Lo Tirtzo. Can't kill. But they have to keep that anyway. Why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying the one thing that they wouldn't want to do and something that they have to keep no matter what? Something that that's not part of the Torah. It's something that's part of their life. So what's going on here? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? Okay. There's tons of answers to this question. I have at least six that I've heard over the years, and now we're going to give a seventh one, basically from Schwab. I'm going to tell you mine, though. My answer is the following. They didn't want to take on the responsibility. They didn't want to be the people that the whole world rested on. Because you can imagine, if they knew that they were going to mess it up, and they had to keep the Torah, and they knew they couldn't, then what would happen to the world? The world would be destroyed. If they can't keep the Torah, and they would keep sinning and sinning and sinning, still would be destroyed. So what they did was they chose Olam Haza over Olam Haba. They realized that they're not going to get Olam Haba. They realized they're not going to get the world to come. Because the world to come is saved for those people that can keep the Torah and that have the actual Torah or that keep the Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And they said, we can't do that. So if the Jews keep the Torah, somebody keeps the Torah, and we just get Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach, Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach, okay, we might mess it up once in a while, but at least we'll get Olam Haza, and we have a chance to get Olam Haba. But if we keep the Torah and we mess it up and we're never going to keep it, well, then we don't get Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba. We get nothing. We're messed over on both of them. We won't get this world because this world will be destroyed. We won't get the next world because we wouldn't have been good enough for it. So they just didn't want the responsibility. We'll give it over to the Jews. The Jews will be in charge of it. And the Jews won't mess it up. They're obstinate people. You know, they got that Azaz Metzach. They see things just like, no. They'll say no. They'll realize. They'll be okay with everything and everything will be perfectly fine. But to keep Sisera at 13, nah. We can't do. Absolutely can't do. Schwab. Schwab is a great piece over here. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. Everyone assumes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu offered them the entire Torah. Right? But we all know that Avraham Avinu was chosen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that Avraham Avinu's children were chosen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu to get the Torah. So what does that mean? It means the following. Bnei Yisrael already had mitzvos. They had puravu. They had to be fruitful, multiply, and have kids. They had to have bris milah. Gira noshe. They already had. They weren't allowed to eat from the certain sinew, from the filet mignon. I believe it's called the filet mignon, the good part of the meat. They weren't allowed to eat that, right? They already knew about Korban Pesach. They had all the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, not eating chametz. They had to eat matzah. They had all those mitzvahs from Mitzrayim. They were already commanded that in Mitzrayim. That was before Matan Torah. That they already had. They had Parah Aduma and keep it out the aim. That was given in Mara. That was before Matan Torah as well. They had certain mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs they already had. Har Sinai was totally different. Hasinai Bnei Yisrael said two words. Two words. Yeah, here. What were those two words? Two words. It reverberates in your brain every single day. Ah, there we go, okay. That's Vanishma. We will do, and we'll listen. We will do, and we'll listen to everything. Something different happened. This is unbelievable. Torah was rooted into their beings. Their entire system, their entire bodies were filled with Torah. And all they could think of all day long was Torah. Now sometimes the Yitzhar got a hold of them and sort of covered it up and like sort of like pushed it down and made them think like, oh, there's nothing really there. But Lamaisa, all they wanted to do was Torah. Everybody's heard that if a guy won't give a get, what do we make him do? What do we do? You beat him up until he gives the get. The line that's given is Kofin Osad Shomarotzani. We force him, we put him down, we start punching him in the face until he says, I want to give the get. And then he signs the get, and it's all good. Because a get has to be given Baratzon. It has to be given willingly. But that's not willingly. He's being forced. You're taking his arm and you're making him write his name on the dotted line. How is that giving you willingly? You're forcing it to his hand, you're forcing him to give it over to the woman. That's not willingly, you're beating him up. Says the Rambam, because deep down inside, a Jew wants to give the get. Just that he's Yitzhar isn't letting him have it. So where do we get that from? So some people say spiritual DNA. It comes from the Avos. Rav Schwab says, it comes from Har Sinai. That's what we got at Rav Schwab. That's the Matan Torah. The Matana of Torah. The gift of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is not only to have the ability to do 613 mitzvahs. It's to want to do mitzvahs. That deep down inside, you really want to. You just have other things holding you back from doing it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. He gave us the ability to do everything. Not only to become the Am Segula, to be the Am Segula, to have within us, to want to be the Am Segula, to have that Ratzon Hashem. That means that no matter what happens, we will always desire to do the Torah. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, we always deep down have that desire. And we can always do tshuva. Unlike every other nation in the world, we have the ability to do tshuva at any point, at any moment, no matter how bad we are, no matter how down we are, we can still do tshuva. You still have that possibility of doing tshuva. That's the pshat behind the line. Ilu kirabanu l'vnei har Sinai, v'lo nasan lanu l'satorah, dayenu. If you were brought at Har Sinai on Pesach, that we say in the Haggadah, if you were brought at Har Sinai and you didn't give us the Torah, that would have been good enough. Even if you didn't give us all the mitzvos, you just would have had the mitzvos that we had already. Milan, Giran, Nashem, Puravu, and Kibra V'Aim, and Paradum, and all the others that you gave us already, and you were just ingrained within us to want to do them. Dayenu. That would have been good enough. But then you gave us more mitzvos, more ability to do good. Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for giving us all that ability. That's what we're saying on Pesach. You ingrained within us the want to do something. Want to hear something crazy? That's what the baby learns in the womb. What's the point of a baby learning in the womb? The baby learns in the womb. He sits there. I just went to the Museum of Science and Industry today and I saw all those fetuses. One to the other, one to the other. I've always had the question, what did Goyim learn in the womb? What did they get? I mean, if Jews learn Torah, then what did Goyim have? Says Rav Schwab, Jews learn Torah so that it's ingrained within them. The Malach teaches them how to ingrain within them so that when they come out, even if something else happens, they'll want to do it. They'll want to bring it out. They'll want to do something about it. Goyim, don't learn Torah in the womb. Some say they learn Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, or whatever it is. But according to Shrug, they learn nothing. They don't get anything. They get absolutely nothing. Why? It's not ingrained within them. Why? Because they didn't say yes. Because they didn't want to accept the Torah. So they get nothing. They learn absolutely nothing. And here's how he goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted to give the whole Torah to the Goyim. The whole Torah was supposed to be ours. The 613 mitzvahs were always supposed to be ours. You know what the Goyim were supposed to get? Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But they got that anyway. They were going to get Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach ingrained within them. That's what they were going to have. They were going to have an innate ability to not murder. An innate ability to not commit adultery. An innate ability to set up courts of law. That's what they would have had. They would have the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach within their systems to want to do everything that's within their system. It's an unbelievable line. That's what they would have had. Not what they have now, which is just the ability to do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give them was not the 613. It was the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach for them to want to have it. For them to have Kofenos Watch Yom HaRotzeni. For them to have that ability to learn something in the womb. To in the womb, to be able to learn all the concepts of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and to be able to do it themselves. So what happened now? They're in a mitzvah of Osa. Even on the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, they are not commanded. And they get no schar. I shouldn't say no schar. They don't get the schar of someone who's commanded to do. So no matter what they do, even if they don't murder, even if they don't commit adultery, even if they don't commit, they don't worship Avodah Zarah, even if they set up courts of law, whatever they do everything correctly. At the end of the day, they still cannot get as much schar as a Jew. A Jew is still above them. It doesn't mean they can't go to Olam Haba. They can get Olam Haba. They can get Gan Eden. But we're still higher than them. If a Jew keeps the Torah, if a Jew has that ability to do the Torah, we still have something that's higher than every nation in the world. And that's what it means by the Am Segula. That's what it means by the Bechir Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never offered the whole Torah to the nations. He offered part of the Torah to the nations. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to the other nations. And that's it. That's all they got. They never had anything more. Now you're going to see an unbelievable thing. Okay. The Goyim didn't accept it. They didn't accept the Torah. They didn't accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But they think later on that they can get it back. They think so. What were the two nations that are mentioned in the Torah? The only two nations out of the 70 that are mentioned in the Torah? Edom and Yishmael. It's only Edom and Yishmael are mentioned in the nations. That's Seir is Edom, Har Paran is Yishmael. Both nations, the Christians and the Islamic people, both think that the Torah is theirs, not ours. They took it for themselves. Both the nations that had the ability to get the Torah, or their Torah, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and get it within them, they claim that the Torah is theirs. That the Torah Shebachthat, it's ours. Yishmael is the one that went up. He is the one. What happened down in Mitzrayim, though, was something different. The Bechir Hashem, the one that was chosen by God, was Yishmael, not Yitzchak. Yitzchak's children also had something. But Yishmael is the Ikar. And Esav, they just stole it outright. Yeah, you guys were talking, but now it's us. You were there before, but now it's us. Now it becomes ours. They grabbed the Torah and take it for themselves. They grabbed everything for themselves. We say straight out, they had the choice. They could have taken something. They could have gotten something. They're the ones who say it. They're the ones who claim it out. Now listen to this. What do they claim? What do we claim? So I'm going to give you a pasuk in Navi. It's unbelievable. They claim that the Torah is ours. The Torah is ours. And whatever you guys do is all false. Everything you guys do is a bunch of fakes. Everything you do is wrong. That's what they say. Our Torah, but the Torah is ours. The Arabs, Christians, whatever you want to call them, and the nations of the world who take our Torah. This is ours, and then yours is whatever. You guys got nothing anymore. You guys got absolutely nothing. Think about this. The Jews, what do we say? Yours is nothing. Yours is nothing. And ours is the real deal. Yours is nothing. Your New Testament is absolute garbage. And ours, everything is perfectly fine. Ours has always remained ours. When Shlomo Melech first became king, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom, and he was granted wisdom. Famous case. The two mothers, who both had children, they were harlots, they both had children. One of them, in the middle of the night, rolled over on top of her baby and killed the baby. So she switched the dead baby for the live one, and the woman who woke up in the morning and realized her son was dead, she looked at her and said, "That's not my son. That's my son." The other harlot said, "No, that's your son." They went up to Shlomo Melech and they said, "There's a live baby, there's a dead baby. Who does the live baby belong to and who does the dead baby belong to?" Now, everybody knows that Shlomo Melech said, "Cut the baby in half. Let's see what's going to happen." And one of the mothers said, "Go for it." The other mother said, "No, don't do it." There's one part of the story that everybody forgets. Unbelievable little part. Right before that, there's a claim. It's made by both mothers. Here's the claim. One mother claims, "Lo, ki b'ni achoi u'b'nei chames." No, my son is alive. Your son is dead. The other woman says, "Lo, ki b'nei chames u'b'nei achoi." No, your son is dead. My son is alive. It's weird, no? Again, one woman said, "My son is alive and your son is dead." That's what one said. The other one said, "No, your son is dead and my son is alive." They switch the order. And Shlomo Melech, there's a whole pasuk where Shlomo Melech says, what do I do? One woman says that my son is alive and your son is dead. And the other one is saying, your son is dead and my son is alive. It's a whole nother pasuk repeating the claim. Repeating the claim. You want to know something even stranger? There's a song that you sing on Friday nights called Soma Nafshi Lelo Kim. In Soma Nafshi Lelo Kim, all of them end off with the word choy. It all ends off with the word choy. One of the lines in there is, Re'e Ligveris Emes, see the true woman, Shifka no Emes, the maidservant who said out loud. Now it says, the Emes, the one that told the truth, said, Lo ki v'neich hames uveni hachoy. No, your son is dead, my son is alive. The real claim that you have to claim is, your son is dead and my son is alive. Why do you have to do it that way? How did that prove to Shlomo Melech which one was the right one? Shlomo Melech repeated the claim. And it seems afterward that he had to paskin based on the sword. He said, well, now I'm going to cut this child in half. Their claims didn't really mean anything. In fact, Shlomo Melech seems to question. He's like, well, what's going on? I don't know what to do. Both of them are saying the exact same thing. Noachim Aleph Perek Dalet, I believe. Noachim Aleph Perek Dalet. But it's just such a strange thing. What's going on here? What kind of a line is this? And all of a sudden we paskin in our Zmiros. Who is right? What's going on here? What does that mean? Why is that the right one? I will tell you, there's a Me'iri and Yevamos that goes through this. There's a Me'iri and Yevamos that goes through the whole thing. He tries to say which one is better. Here's Pshat. And Rav Schwab hints to it, but it's based on the Me'iri and Yevamos. And it goes like this. A liar tries to first mention his lie, tries to first mention the thing that he's trying to get, and afterwards said, and anyway, you're wrong. And anyway, you're wrong. So even if you want to argue with me, you're wrong. But the first thing he says, he's thinking about the lie. He's thinking about the lie. He just wants to make sure that everybody thinks that he's got the one. So what he'll say is, basically, he'll go up to a person and say, hey, that's my shirt. And it's definitely not your shirt. The ichor behind what the liar is trying to do, and the ichor, what he's trying to say is, that's mine. That's what the liar wants to say, to make sure that you know that what he's concentrating on is that your thing that you have in your hands is mine. Well, it goes the other way. A true person, a person who's telling the truth, knows that the MS is the MS. He knows that the MS is the MS. The first thing he says is, first of all, it's not your shirt. Second of all, it is my shirt. I have a receipt for it right here. That's what he does. He knows he's telling the truth. If you know you're telling the truth, you don't have to start off with that type of a line. You end off with the line and just say, like, no, it's not your shirt. It's definitely not your shirt. If it's anybody's, it's definitely not yours. Whose is it? It's mine. And that's when you prove that it's yours. A true person will say that at the end. Here's the difference. The difference between the Christian and the Arabic nations versus us, and this can be argued, the Malbim seems to argue with this concept, but the question, the way that they're looking at it is, Esav and Yishmael says, number one, the Torah, it's ours, and anyway, you don't deserve it. Anyway, you don't deserve it. That's the way the claim would go for Esav and Yishmael. That the Torah is ours, it's our Torah Shebichtav, we had it the whole time, and anyway, you guys don't deserve such a thing. Anyway, you guys are a bunch of liars. Anyway, you guys don't really have anything. So what do we say back to them?
But the Christians don't even say that. They say, it was yours, but now it's ours.
You're right. You're right. It is not a claim of that comes into fruition in any specific purpose. In other words, all it's doing is it's trying to say what their type of claim would be. Their type of claim would be that what you're doing is, this thing is mine, and it's definitely not yours. That's the type of claim that they have. While the Jews, their claim is, first of all, it's not yours. It's not yours. And that's what we're starting with the Torah. Zarach mi seir lamo fiyam al paran. You had the chance. You said no. And by the way, it's ours. And that's why we end off the whole parsha of Afko ve'vamin, kol kedosha biyadecha, heim tu kulu raglecha, and Torah zivalanu Moshe, kol morasha kilas Yaakov. The first thing we say is, number one, you guys are a bunch of liars. Number one, hofia me'aparon, zarach mi seir lamo, you had the chance and you blew it. It's definitely not yours. Whose is it? It's ours. We got it as Yaakov. We got it as Moshe. And we end up with the whole Torah. The whole Torah ends off with the words, le'enei kol Yisrael. That this whole thing was done in front of the eyes of all the Jews. It wasn't done just with Moshe being in a little cave. It wasn't done with like a nevuah, like, oh, I got this great nevuah that I wanted to tell over to everybody. It was done in front of all of B'nai Yisrael and everybody saw it. That's our claim. That everything comes first. Here's why you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong. And at the very end, oh, by the way, we're the chosen nation. By the way, everything is for us. By the way, we're the Yikr. That's what we're trying to do. And that's why you put it at the very, very end. At the very end of everything. Says the Yaakov Reuveni, but they did get something. Every nation got something. Esav and Yishmael. Look at their names. What were the two words we said again? Those two words that we said? Naaseh v'nishma. Naaseh is Esav. Nishma is Yishmael. You ever notice? Yishmael, their belief is that whatever they do, Allah Akbar, God is with them. God will overcome. God will be perfectly fine. You've never seen a nation that's as audacious as the Arab nation. Never seen anything like it. They forget about us davening in an airport. We go by the phones. We pick up a phone in our hands. You know, we pretend like we're talking on a cell phone. We daven. You know, we go into a corner. We go around. They take out their mats. Roll it. I still remember seeing it. Roll out in the middle of where people are walking. Get down on their knees. They just start screaming, 5 times a day, not just 3. 5 times a day. Now, granted, those are the religious Arabs. You don't find them very often. You don't see them very often. They have nerve. They have nerve. They're willing to kill themselves. They're willing to kill themselves to do the word of God. Now, granted, there have always been kamikaze fighters in every nation. There's always been the kamikazes. But they have a whole nation that preaches it? That preaches it. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. They have mysterious nefesh for what you believe in? Listen, I'll advise that the Jews could have such mysterious nefesh to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was with them as much as they do. That's Yishmael. That's what they stand for. They got the Nishma. They couldn't get the Naaseh. They don't do anything. They got nothing. If they didn't have oil in their land, they would be the poorest nations on the planet. They would do absolutely nothing. They've given us algebra, period. Nothing else. They've done absolutely nothing else for us, and that's it. That's it. Nothing. Esav is Naaseh. Esav does things. He doesn't need God. He doesn't really look forward to God. All he says is, God doesn't even want our mitzvos. Just love him, believe in him, and everything's going to be okay. He doesn't go with it. There's no like constant relationship between him and God. His relationship with God is just his naseh, what he does. He works with his hands. He works with his feet. He does whatever he can, and he builds up huge infrastructures. He builds huge cities. He builds huge everything. He makes aqueducts, and he makes bridges, and he makes this and that and the other, and makes sure that everything runs well. That's Esau. He's all about the naseh, but he has nothing to do with Nishma. The Jewish nation. And each one of them, the only reason why they got it is because one of them was related to Yitzchak and Avram, and the other one was related to just Avram. They have a connection to the other, so they got something. They got something out of life. But they didn't have to get everything. They didn't have to get really anything at all. That was the Nasa and the Nishma that went over to them. They got their own Nasa and Nishma, something totally different. To end off, there's a bracha here. Such a strange bracha. Everyone gets their own separate bracha. We start off with Reuven. Reuven's got a nice little one. He's got a one-liner. One-liner, but it's good. Yechi Reuven Val Yamos. Targum Unkelos says that he shouldn't die a second time. He shouldn't die a second time. The Rabbeinu Bachai goes into Gilgulim over here, that Reuven should never have a Gilgul, that B'nai Reuven should be a special people. Yehuda has a huge one. I mean, it's basically, he's going to be the leader. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, everybody should listen. Hashem should listen to Kol Yehuda, Ezer Mitzarfiyah. Levi's got a whole bracha. Everything, he should be teachers, and everything should be all good with Levi. Shimon is skipped. That's for all the reasons. Shimon, because of the sins that he's had, he doesn't have a Nasi. Binyamin's got a good one. He gets the Beis HaMikdash from this. He gets the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef is a huge one. All the brachas he could possibly think of goes to Yosef. The beauty goes to Yosef. Then he got a weird one. Beliz Vulin Amar, Smach Zvulin Bitzei Secha, V'yisokar Bo'alecha. Zvulin should be happy when he goes out, and Yisokar in his tents. Says Rashi, Zvulin should be happy when he's doing business, so that Yisokar can learn. The Yisachar's woman relationship, where they're both together. Yisachar doesn't really get a bracha. He doesn't really get anything. He's just added out with Zvulun. Because then it goes, Hamel Har Yikro, Shem Yisbukhuz Yisachar, Shem Yalmin Yenaku, Zvulun Yisachar, Zvulun. All these are things that go for Shevet Zvulun. The Gemara Megillah goes through this pasuk and it says how it all refers to Zvulun. Nothing for Yishmael, for Yisachar. Yisachar gets nothing, it's just the Olecha. He gets his learning. What's pshat? The Radomsker. Only a Radomsker can ask this question. You ever wonder, how can Zvulun potter themselves from learning by saying, I'm going to go into business and just pay for learning? They have a chiv to learn. How are they allowed to get out of learning by saying that I'll work and I'll just pay for learning? I'll deal with my chiv in that way. Well, where does he get a hatter to do that? He's got to learn Torah all day long. Radomsker's question. Pretty strong question. Pretty crazy question. Are you allowed to learn? Are you allowed to work all day long? The following. He says this. He says, there are some people who don't have the ability to learn all day long. Who don't have that ability. So you got to do something. So what are you going to do? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there are nitzotzos HaKadoshim in the world. Holy sparks of Kedusha that are somewhere out there in the world. And our job is to go get them. The easiest way to get them is by learning and davening. Because you can't screw it up when you're learning or when you're davening. You're learning and you're davening, you're making brachos, you're going to bring up that kedusha immediately, the kedusha is going to come to you, and everything's going to be all good, you're going to bring up everything in the world. There's another way of doing it. Making a kedusha shem. If you work, and you go out there, and you act like a Jew should, then what ends up happening? The nations are impressed. All the nations of the world say, wow, that's an unbelievable Jewish nation. They realize that the Jewish nation is worth talking to. They're worth doing business with. They're worth doing everything with. The Medrash says, Zvulun goes out to the sea, and he brings back other nations, and the other nations are Megayer and live in Zvulun. That all the Gerim live in Zvulun. If you were wondering, where all the Gerim go? In all of Eretz Yisrael. They all went to Zvulun. They all went to Zvulun. Why? Because Zvulun knew how to make a Kiddush Hashem. Zvulun knew how to go out to the other nations and knew how to impress other people. Can you potter yourself from learning? No, you're not allowed to potter yourself from learning. You always have to learn. You always have to have somewhere where you're learning or something that you're learning at all times. You always have a chiv of davening. You always have that. But what does Zvulun do? Zvulun makes a Kiddush Hashem. And that can be, it's hard to, but it can be even greater than any effect that a Yisachar can have in the world. Any effect that Yisachar can do through his learning and davening, it's still indirect. It's an indirect effect where you learn and you daven and it goes up to Shemayim and Shemayim gives extra shef out of the nations and the nations bring themselves up a little bit more, but it's indirect. You can make a direct connection between your neighbor and Judaism and see something better by seeing how good Jews are. Am cheref nafsho lamus. I'm going to the Kabbalah behind that. But a nation that would rather die is what they call Zvulun. Cheref is the gemash of Resh Pechas, 288 mitzvot Sakadoshim that are throughout the world. We can go through that some other time. Menatzbach is including the 288, the Memnun, Sadi Pechav, Sofis. Those go into this whole concept. It is a crazy concept that people who are in Zvulun have more of an ability. They need the bracha. You suffer? How can they mess up? What are they going to do? They're sitting in a tent all day. I'll tell you honestly, sitting in a base medrash all day long, I'm not even a yisachar. I can't count it as a yisachar. I work. But sitting in a base medrash all day long, there's not much I can do to mess up. Not much I can do. It's not like there's a rias walking into the room. No, there's no woman coming into the base medrash. Nobody's coming inside. And if somebody comes in, it's like a 75-year-old lady who comes to put in a little, you know, this week's learning is dedicated to, and that's it. It's very hard to mess up that way. A Zvulun has a chance to mess up, and when he doesn't, the huge Kiddush Hashem that's made can have unbelievable effects. Unbelievable amounts of effect. More than anything else. And that's Smach Zvulun B'Tzei Secher. Zvulun will be happy when they go out. Yisachar Bo'alecha. Each one has their own separate job. A Yisachar can sit in a tent that's afraid of what he's going to be like if he goes out to business. That's a Yisachar. He'll sit and he'll learn all day, and those people have to be honored, and those people do have to be looked up to. But Zvulun has a crazy job, and Zvulun has a chance of making the Kiddush Hashem beyond all others. And that's why he gets the bracha, and Yisachar gets absolutely nothing. It helps you with everything altogether. Shkoyach, guys. We'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos and a good Simchas Torah. Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. Should be all